Sahanavavatu, Sahanabhunaktu, Sahavaryankaravavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastu mavidvishavahai. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, so we finished chapter 2. We finished it, yeah. Right. Okay, now are there some questions to the chapter 2? Okay, so then what did we go through in the chapter 2? So then we had the three categories of devotional service. And then the how many each of them divisions or qualities have. Then the classification of a devotee. And how does become one a devotee? And now the eligibility. So we said that the eligibility is that, Rupa Goswami says the eligibility that the devotee in previous life, he perform devotional service. But then the question arises, then is it possible to become a devotee even though future devotee then did not come in his previous life in touch with devotional service? So then that's then another question. Then the definition of what is devotional service in practice? The sarana bhakti, and then we had the two divisions of sarana bhakti, vaide sarana and raganuga sarana.
You said vaide was what you must do and raganuga was what you
want to do. Yes, yeah. So then vaide is the activities of devotional service as your duties. So your spiritual master, or because it's written in the Shastra, or other devotees advise you do this and that's good for you, and because you want to do something good, so out of some motivation then you do it because of the intelligence tells you it's good to do. But Raganuga is that it's not what you have to do or what you are supposed to do because of circumstances, but you do because you want to do. So there is some attraction, there is some affection towards Krishna. That's why you are performing the activities with these emotions, and that is Raganuga. Yeah. We did. Okay, the definitions. Then we went also through the recommendation the Padma Purana recommends. Then we get the very base principles, and those are never forget Krishna and always remember Krishna. So, and then we also mentioned that from these two principles, or on these two principles, any other principle is based. So, and as Krishna recommends in Bhagavad Gita, well, fully surrender unto me, that's the best. So then we can always remember Krishna. Then that's samadhi. Then, or if you cannot do that, then always perform all the activities, for me. So we are always meditating on Krishna, that's dhyana. And if you cannot do that, then whatever activities you do, then the results offer to me. And then, so that's devotional service. And then if you cannot do that, then do some pious activities, but that's may bring some agata security. That's not. But this is the point of always remember. And if you cannot always remember, at least do not forget. So that's, these are the principles. And then we went through the varnas and ashramas, the duties, and the performance of devotional service, how we can engaging ourselves in the duties of varnas and ashramas, how we can perform devotional service. So ultimately, what is the goal of human life? Now, what we should be aiming for? And then how applying these two principles we can reach Krishna. Yes.
So you don't have a clear picture about Varna. Is that, does it make difficult for us to perform one?
No. See, like that. In what we call the ordinary Varnasham, so then, the clear picture is done based on one's birth. But it's not accurate. You see, you may say, in the example of Parikshit Maharaj. Then Parikshit Maharaj, he offended the Brahmana, and then he had the Brahmic qualities. But his son, who was the son of Brahmana, Sringi, then he did not have the patience of the Brahmana, he didn't have the discrimination, so he took it too far, and he knew that King Parikshit is the one, basically, at the time who could protect the earth, but still he cursed him that he will die. So Brahmana should not go that far. So therefore in Bhagavatam is described the influence of Kali Yuga, and then how it's changing. So then the qualities of Brahmana are changing. And he was from pure Brahminical family. So nowadays, you cannot really have pure Varna as such. So by birth, it's not really possible to determine who is who. Then another example from Shastra, it's... was a boy. He was born actually a prostitute, and he went to, I think it was Gautama. He went to Gautama Rishi that he would like to study under him in his Gurukul. And then, but for that you need to know the your gotra, and you need to know your varna. So then he asked him, who is your no father? What is your gotra? No, what is your varna? And he said, I don't know. Okay, so you go and ask your mother. So then he went, and then he figured out that she didn't know who is the father. So then he came back to his teacher, and he said, so who is your father? What is your gotra? Well, I don't know. My mother is prostitute, and no, she doesn't know who the father is. So he said, well, you must be a Brahmana, because only Brahmana can, you know, speak the truth like this, even knowing that it may be bad for him. So he accepted him, and then, Satyakama Jabala, that's his name. So he accepted him as a Brahmana, and then he studied under him. So the qualities are important. And the same thing, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he shows us, you have Haridas Thakur, who is from Muslim family. Then you have Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. They are the fallen down, so-called, right? But that doesn't really matter. The qualities are the most important. But in the ordinary varnashram, it will not be accepted. So therefore, now there, it's important to know one's birth, but it's useless. I mean, look at this. You may have, some people, they call themselves brahmanas, but what they do? Eat meat, smoke, drink. They don't do anything of brahmanical activities. They just wear the thread and call themselves brahmanas. So therefore it's pointless. But in Davi Varnashram, then the devotees are centered around Krishna. So according to one's mentality, one performs service towards the Lord. And it doesn't really matter what it is. I have known one pujari. And he comes and he does the puja in the temple, and he does the cooking and everything. No, but he's grihastha, so then he just doesn't stay in the temple. Just comes from his house, just ready, enough time just to cook for the deities and to do the offering and the arati. Now there was a problem. There was not enough devotees, so nobody was cleaning toilets. So they were really dirty. So now, who is going to do it? So, the brahmacharis were not into it. And, so nobody really, cared. But the pujari, he said, well, it's needed to be done. So he just came earlier from his house, put some gamsha, cleans the toilets, takes bath, and goes on the altar. That's Krishna consciousness. See, he, in the ordinary varnashram, if Brahmana touches the broom or does something which is supposed to be like a cleaning, then he will be considered like some outcast. How can he touch a broom? That's unthinkable. Not it's only for the Shudras, not for me. But in the Daivanashram, anything which can be done for the Krishna, for the Lord, not for him, so it doesn't really matter what it is. One can clean the toilets, take bath, and then do the brahmanical activities. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, what he established is that we follow the duties of the Brahmanas, brahmanical qualities. He is trying to develop. So everybody has the cleanliness, the program during the day, the chanting of the holy names. Because, see, these are the most important activities of the Brahmanas. Sadhana and japa. So anybody does, so then that's already on the level of Brahminical standard. And anything extra, no, that's just extra. That's the devotional service. So there is no really need for thinking, no, who am I? What am I supposed to do? I don't want to be Shudra. No, I want to be Brahmana. But if one cannot perform the duties of a Brahmana, or cannot preaching may be difficult for him. So whatever fits the nature, then he can perform, and through that he gets purified and he goes back to Godhead. So according to the Shastra, no, the how the conditioned natures are. So for 1,000 living beings, the human beings, the conditioned not living beings. So then you have, as average, it's defined that you have 900 Shudras, you have 90 Vaishyas, 9 Kshatriyas and 1 Brahmana. That's one definition how they say so. So these are the natures. And so if accepted, one doesn't have to be really mental about who am I. One should rather be thinking, what can I do for Krishna? And if it is cleaning toilets today, it's not a problem. But if we start thinking, I cannot do that, no, that's not for me, then the problem starts. Then what am I supposed to do? But I don't want to be Vaishya. I don't know how to deal with money. Kshatriya, I cannot I cannot lead people. And teaching and preaching, I cannot do that. So what? So then just help others. There's no harm. There's no loss. The loss is only because we consider them ourselves as something different than we are. So it comes from within us, because of the conditioned nature. We consider ourselves special. But what special are we? Our speciality is that we are here for millions and millions of lifetimes, not struggling in this material world. That's what's so special about us. So if we try to really contemplate on what it is that we can do to get out of here, and it doesn't really matter if it's going to be cleaning the floors or doing arati for the deities, then we should do. I know one devotee, and he loves cleaning the temple, the premises where the devotees are living, the toilets, and he puts his Prabhupada singing as a playing, and he just goes on, and the whole day he cleans. He takes pleasure in that. And he is not trying to become somebody else than actually he is. He knows it's my nature and I like it, and he does it. And because he does it with devotion, it is devotional service. He pleases everybody there. He pleases Krishna, he pleases the devotees, because the temple is clean because of him.
Out of emergency, they say, we need a manager in the temple, we need someone to, he can do it, but if he finds it's difficult to continue doing, that will be emergency service, right?
Yes.
You have to go back to where he feels comfortable, right?
Yes, it should be that one should be very honest to oneself. No, if I do something and then I really like it, so get into it, because you have to get really, fully into it to be able to appreciate it. Like also Srila Prabhupada, at least in one instance, he said that the cook in the temple should be the most lusty person. Why? No, because he will make sure that what he cooks, it's good. Because he is not going to eat something which is not good. So that means that the deities will eat something good. That the devotees will eat something good. Rather than somebody who doesn't care. Now you put some avadut cooking, and then you may not get any prasad that day. So that may be okay, he is very nice devotee, but I'm hungry, deities are hungry. Now what will you do about that? So therefore that's the expertise of a leader. He must recognize the quality, the conditioning, you may say so, of that devotee and engage him accordingly. Because he knows that it's his quality, he is good at it, he will do it the best. Somebody else is good at something else, just engage him according to that. And then really doesn't need to get mental about why am I doing this? Well, if you like doing it, so why are you thinking twice if you should be doing it? Just be happy that you got service which you like doing. Because if you are not happy with what we are doing, you cannot absorb in doing the service. And then how can you think of Krishna if what you are doing you don't like? So first you have to make sure that it fits you, that you actually can do it because you like it. And then when you are satisfied with it, you are confident, yes, I'm good at it. Somebody is good at singing. So then give him the opportunity. Have him sing. So then for him it will be effortless. So he does it. So then he may have the more opportunity now to actually think of Krishna while he is singing. Then somebody who cannot really sing properly, so when he sings, he has to think of so many things, not to do it wrong and do this. He has no time to think of Krishna while he's singing. So then according to the nature. And then he gets purified. So then when he sings for Krishna, he gets purified. Once purified, then he is able to do anything. But maybe not in the beginning. Once he is purified, then Krishna can give so many good qualities. He can become good at anything. But maybe not in the beginning. So therefore, it changes. As we develop in the process of devotional service, then it changes. One may start cleaning the toilets. And in fact, Prabhupada recommended that everybody should start with cleaning the toilets and doing the pots to purify the heart. Once you purify the heart, then it's more clear what it is that you would like to do for Krishna. And then more pure the heart is, then more capable you are doing all sorts of varieties of things for Krishna. So and once the devotee is surrendered, he can do anything. There's no limit. The limit isn't only ourselves. We are the limit. Because we want to do this, we don't want to do this. This is what we see, the dualities, because of our conditioning. But devotees, pure devotees, they don't see any differences. Because everything is offerable to the Lord. So whatever they do, they connect it to the Lord. Once connected, they are happy doing it. Yeah? Yeah.
You're emphasizing one's own nature. What about the training? I was asked to do the pots when I first came in, and they sent me back in the next day because I didn't do them properly. But nobody showed me what is the system, what's the parampara way to do it. with that training.
Yeah, that must be there. To know the standards, how to do it, then that must be established. So that's sambandha. That sambandha, you have to establish what it is. So the pot, before you cook, must be clean. And you are the person who will make it clean. So that's your relationship with the pot. So you get the pot dirty, then you have to put your effort, your strength, your intelligence to make it clean. If it's not done, then you didn't properly establish. Because of that, then you cannot continue, you cannot cook in it, you cannot do anything. So it was your bad job, so do it again. So by mistakes, one learns. Only if he accepts there was a mistake. So we should be also ready to accept we are conditioned. But we don't want to remain conditioned. That's the main point. Yes, I did mistake, and next time I will avoid it. I will not make it again. So, okay, I didn't know. I thought it's clean, but anyway, you say so. So now I know. Next time, don't worry, it will not be dirty again. I learned from a mistake, so therefore I progressed. If you start, well, what are you talking about? This is just a little thing here. No, don't worry about it. No, just don't be fanatic. At that time you stop. There is no progress. You don't accept that you made a mistake. So there is nothing which you actually even desire to progress. If we don't accept that we actually don't belong here, then there is no desire even to come out of here. Why should it? So we have to first define who we are and where do we belong. Then we can have the right definition of what to do next. So therefore the pots are very simple to see. You do things wrong, it's very easy to point out, well, the pot is not clean. And you can say whatever you want, you can apply any philosophy, but still the pot is not clean. So there is no really time for speculation. And if you don't like it, that the devotee likes the pot clean, then you go away. Because who is he? Why is he not bothering me so much? I don't like it here. So you go. It's not for you. But if you actually see, oh, the devotee, he's very particular. He likes things clean. I like that. That's very good. And he is not liking it like that for himself. He does it for Krishna. I should also develop the same quality. So then we can go and ask, no, show him, Prabhu, is this clean or no, should we maybe polish it more? What should we do? Then he can give you also the fine points, which he may not just give to anybody. But that's only when you understand that there is something more to learn, so you are eager to start and look for the details in. So first you have to get the principle right. Then you're the servant and you're supposed to make the dirty pot clean. And there is somebody who tells you that the pot is clean or not. And if it's not, you do it again until it's clean. That's the principle. The detail is how you do it. Now you may do extra. You may do something more than what's expected. It's a detail, but it's a plus. Like we're talking about the Shamarana Pandit. He sweeps the Sevakun. But he sweeps something which doesn't have to be swept. It's clean. There's nothing bad in it. It's all Chintamani dust. But he still makes sure that he sweeps it again and again and again, just so that Radha and Krishna don't step on some little rock or little thorn. So that's the devotional service. So the pot, no one may just keep washing it until it's no shiny. Maybe it wasn't shiny, but he may just take the extra time and then make it shiny. So that's plus. Yeah? Yes.
Sometimes from my life I feel something between the bodies can be envious because I have very simple distribution and I'm happy in my service day by day, and sometimes some devotee told us, or I told to some devotee, okay, you are happy, but be careful because you have to be detached. Okay, first occasion I understand. Yes, I have to learn this. I have to be detached from the service. But if it's not just first occasion, it's happening sometimes, it can be create some kind of frustration. So, can I, thinking that from the devotee that it's a kind of ambience, but I understand that I have to learn because he is or she is an instrument in the precious hands. What is our mood to serve in the even in the peaceful mood?
So I say the book distribution, then we become book distributors, and then we may start to become proud that we are good at it, like that?
Perhaps, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps.
Yeah, okay.
Or we just
happy because we like this. Yeah. See, so when one is, as you said, the second instance, that when actually one does it because he is happy doing it, there is nothing wrong in that. Actually, that's very good quality. Now, one may in the beginning, may think, okay, I'm so good. So that's a little, trap of Maya. But, and so if devotee comes to us and says, well, you should not really think that it's you who is so good. This quality comes from Krishna. So we may take it, thank you very much, because somebody reminds us. But that doesn't mean that the happiness should go away. We should, in fact, be very greedy for devotional service. So if I have the quality that I can distribute books, so then I'll try to do it even better. But not to become the first in the book distribution marathon, right? That's just to become on the first place. That's not the goal. The goal is, I want to please the Lord. So the consciousness, if we are distributing the books in because we want to please the Lord, then we will get many people. Sometimes it happens that we distribute only one book a day, right? Because if somebody comes and really wants to hear about Krishna, we may spend hours with him just talking with the one person. We should not be thinking, I think you should go because I have so many other books to distribute, so then please don't bother me again with questions. That's not the mood. Somebody is not interested to hear, so he takes books and then hopefully he will read it and then get benefit from that. But if somebody is interested to hear about Krishna, we should spend the time with him. We should explain to him what it is, and we should be able, without thinking that I'm losing some other potential people whom I would distribute books, and then that will take me from the first place. That should not be our thinking. So then if we can do that, then we can actually become Krishna conscious. And we can be happy, because if we see how others are taking it and they are very happy hearing about Krishna, then that makes us understand that this is the process. By this process, then anybody can become Krishna conscious. So that takes us closer to Nishtha. Because on that level, then we are not looking for anything else. We are happy with the process, what we are doing. Our sadhana, the books, the philosophy. This is what we need, because this is what takes us back to Godhead. And because it's your conviction, you can convince others about it. only from the single point that you are convinced, you are fixed, that this is the process. Therefore, I mean, you realized it, and therefore you can give it to others. And they will be very happily listening to you and taking you very seriously. And you don't have to become now first in book distribution. That's for others, just to see, okay, now she distributed, 500 Mahabig books. Okay, maybe you did only 100 or whatever. But you know, you established some relationship. You now gave Krishna consciousness to other people. And the people, they have very close relationship with you, and they want to hear from you. So you have the chance to talk Krishna Katha with them. That's more important than knowing that, I'm not the first, I'm, 10th. It doesn't really matter. No. But when we are serious and sincere, so if we do something wrong, Krishna sends somebody. He knows that from our heart we want to do things right, but sometimes because of our conditioning we do something wrong. Krishna sends somebody. And then he tells us, hey, you're stupid, no, don't do it like this. And then, if our false ego is so great, then, who are you to talk to me? I'm senior devotee. No, don't talk to me like this. Then we cannot accept it. And then we are doomed. But if we understand that, I thank you very much. I didn't know actually that I was wrong in this point, but now I know. Thank you. Thank you so much. Just we can appreciate that. And then think about what was he actually saying. And then see, well, yes, that was actually there. So it's Krishna's grace that the devotee comes and tells me that I did this thing wrong. A true friend is not the one who tells you always, you are so great, no, you are so good. That's not really friendship. A true friend, if you do something not very good, then he tells you that was really good. But if you do something bad, then he will tell you that was really bad. No, you are a nonsense. No, he is so close that he doesn't mind telling you that you did something wrong. Why? Because he wants you to improve. So based on that relationship, then he is trying to tell you that you should be better. The people in general who are not your friends, they are your enemies, they will tell, oh, you are doing so good, you are so good. Why? Because they want you not to even try for becoming better. Just you think that you are the best, and even though you are doing some nonsense like that, they will tell, oh, that was really good. So then you become worse than them. That will make them really happy. In England, they started to print newspaper. And the newspaper had only like a good news. There was no bad news printed, only good news. And it lasted, I think, for 3 months. Nobody was buying it. Because who wants to hear about how good the people are, right? I mean, I'm so miserable, and all these people, they are so good. How can I come even close to them? Who wants to read this? But, he did something, he did some crime, and he did this, and then he lost money, and then he got killed. Makes me feel good, because at least I'm not as bad as them. So it's where we put ourselves. So if we are so low, then we like to see somebody who is even lower than us, because that makes us feel higher than them, and then it's okay. But if always we see that everybody is above us, then makes us feel, I'm so bad. I don't want to hear that, right? Naturally, I want to hear that I'm so good. So therefore, if somebody is worse than me, then I will appreciate it more. That's the condition living being. So to avoid that, we have to first recognize then who we are. And then if we have a true friend, he doesn't mind telling us, you are a nonsense. Because you, not that because He wants to put us down. He will tell you why we are a nonsense. Because you did this wrong. Next time don't do it like this. Otherwise, no, you will suffer because of this. So that should be among the devotees. Among devotees, we should be all, no, there should be friendship. So if we see one doing something wrong, then we should be able to come and say, Prabhupada, don't do it this way. When Srila Prabhupada gave instruction, and he get on somebody's case, somebody got chastised, everybody was listening very carefully. Because it was, well, he was telling him, but it was for everybody. Nowadays, when you chastise, and they may start laughing at him, oh, look, he's so useless, so bad. But they don't understand that the same thing applies to them. Because of that no understanding, they will not be able to improve. So if somebody comes to us and tells us we did something wrong, we should be very happy that somebody comes. That's actually a sign of real friendship. Yes.
But there are also people who don't do it out of friendship.
Well, yeah, that can be a motivation, no other than that.
Yeah. So how to deal with that?
See, therefore, you have to have...
I mean, they might be even right. They might be right or they might be wrong, but it's not, friendship is not the motivation.
That's why when you correct somebody, or you want to correct somebody, there should be a relationship. Mm-hmm. We discussed it before. That you should at least have some power over him, so as an authority,
yeah.
Or influence as a friend. Then he knows you. Then he knows that you actually mean it well for him. He will take it. But if you are nobody to him, then if you don't make sure that he understands that you are doing it out of care,
yeah.
Then he will just take it as. No, you are just bothering him.
So yeah. So this person, how should he react? I'm thinking the other way around. If someone who has no relationship to me, and who might be an authority, age-wise or
you see, okay, take it. It depends on the situation.
Yeah.
Now, you see, somebody is going over a road, right? And he's not looking, and there is a car coming, right? So you will. How should I tell him that the car is coming? Hey, Prabhu, I don't know you, sorry, but no. Maybe you can consider looking to the right and you will look and there is a car coming. So by the time he is already taken over. So the only thing is just go run and just push him or jump off on him or do something. So just get him out of the danger. He may break his leg. So he may tell, hey, you are stupid, what are you doing here? So, now you may have to listen to that. Mm-hmm. But you did, the right thing at the right situation.
So this should be ignored.
Maybe well, explain to him.
Yeah.
Do you see this lorry? So that was just 5 meters from you, full speed running on you. So, I saw you standing there and you didn't see it, so I just jumped on you and then pushed you out of the danger. He may be ungrateful. You could have told me. I didn't see any other possibility, so sorry. I'm really sorry that what happened, but that was my intelligence. I didn't see any other solution. Go on. If he is more grateful, then he will actually be very grateful to you. He will appreciate that what you did, and he will be very thankful. So, but then you should not think, I'm now hero. No, the same thing. Just I tried my best, and that's what I could do. So I'm happy that you didn't get rolled over by the truck. So that's the situation. But now you see. Now you hear that some devotee falls down, right? Okay, he got into drugs. You have heard. Okay, now who are you to the devotee? If you are an authority, and then you have the right to tell him, Prabhu, this is not acceptable. You cannot not do that. Otherwise, you cannot stay in the temple. Or whatever, you, if you are the authority, you have the right and you have to do to explain to him and to establish the situation. If he is your friend and you care for him, so then he will just come and say, what nonsense are you doing? No, don't get into this. It will just get into trouble. But if you are nobody to the devotee, if you have no relationship, what will you do? Just because somebody said, so then you may go around and keep saying, oh, I had a devotee, no, he got into drugs. So that's gossip. It's nothing to do. You have no chance to change a devotee. You have no chance to do anything for the devotee. So you are not a well-wisher. You are just a gossiper, you know, going around and, you know, just taking advantage of, taking pleasure in that, oh, I know something which nobody else knows. You know, the devotee fall down. He took some drugs. And then just makes us feel good that, see, I didn't take drugs and he did. So then he is worse than me. Just to show that we are better than him. That's all. But we don't change anything. We don't help the devotee in any case. So therefore, see, it's not that there is a, no, freedom of speech. What is the freedom of speech for? It's between the devotee and his authority. They should work it out because it's ultimately for his benefit. What is the point that everybody knows that he fall down? Even Krishna says, now, if he is sincere in his heart, and that you can see if he is following the principles, right, that he chants, he serves the devotees. So even if he falls down, it will go away. Krishna doesn't consider him as a fallen down. He still is considered as a pure devotee. We are considering because we see, oh, he is, in that he is worse than me. But the problem is that, now as Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Harinam Chintamani, that the devotee who sees that happening and who criticizes the devotee that he falls down, he becomes an atheist. So he loses the taste of devotional service. Not the devotee who falls down, because that he will again come up. It's a temporary thing. But the devotee who criticizes, he will lose the taste for devotional service. He will fall down and he will not want to have anything to do with the association of devotees. So he is the loser. So therefore, no, what's the point? Finding faults on others, it's so easy. But to help others to overcome the problem, that's difficult because we have to spend our time, our energy. We have to talk to him, and we have to show, you know, our love and care. And that's so much time wasted. Why should we do it?
Yeah, sometimes it seems like it's not making any difference anyway.
Yeah, but see, it does. It's slow.
Yeah.
No, but that's what the teaching and preaching is. Mm-hmm. It needs patience. And if we are really not trying to help the person, he will appreciate it. Maybe not soon, maybe later. But he will. And even if he doesn't, Krishna does. So there is no loss in trying, helping others. But we have to help others as a well-wishers. That not trying to show our senior positions, our position that we want to put them down or we have them in our hand and things like that. No. To show our position that we are the well-wishers, we want to help them. From that position, we can help establish the relationship, and from the position of relationship, by the influence, we can help the devotee. Yeah? Yes, Mataji?
At first, you don't appreciate when someone helps you?
Yes. Yeah.
It's painful, you know, at first, but then you realize
Yeah, it may be painful, but we also have to understand. Maybe we will act different in the situation, but somebody else just the mind, just the intelligence works differently. So then they will act differently. But the result, they are trying to do the same thing which we would do. So if it's done, then we should appreciate it is the effort. In the effort, then something may go wrong. Well, what can we do? But we should be grateful for the devotee that he did try to help us the best way, whatever he could. So, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that can be done only when somebody is already purified to the level that he will just take it, at least as a duty, and then later on, then he will actually get into it fully with devotion. When we are still in the conditioned state, so then we feel that we have the choice to pick and choose and what we want to do. I don't like this, so I'll reject this. I like this, I'll accept this. So as we get purified, then we are capable of taking tasks which before we wouldn't even think of. So that's the actually the expertise of spiritual master, to be able to recognize that mentality of the devotee and the level of his advancement, to give him tasks which he will progress. Okay, so that was review. And as for the essays, now everybody has the essays. We are missing. Yeah, please keep giving the essays as it is. It's not that much work, it's just 200 words. So it's best if you give it Monday, from the previous week. There will be few chapters which we will have to go faster than in 1 week, because we have 19 with the introduction, 20 chapters. But we have only 18 weeks. So some we will go through a little quicker. There will be also like a summary chapters, because the first 16 chapters, they are the Sarana Bhakti. But the first 14, then that's the first 6 is Samanya. Then it's Sarana Bhakti, then means Vaidhi. Then there is Raganuga. And then 17, 18, it's Bhav Sarana. And then the 19th chapter is Prema Bhakti. So those which are like connected together, so then there will also essay on that as the whole unit. So then the questions also will come at the end of the sixth chapter. So there will be essay on the chapter and essay on the first six chapters. So therefore, please then keep writing the essays on time, so it's not too many essays at once. Because you have to write it and now we have to read it, you know. So. Okay, so yeah, that's it.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Rama.